Randy?
Did I just bust your phone?
Good evening. I'm Randy. You all probably know who I am. But just in case you didn't know, I'm the big, tall, ugly guy, Randy. I'm one of the pastors here. Before I get going, I want to share a little story. It's always about sports because I am a sports person. I don't know if you've ever had this feeling, but I was never good enough to be a starter in a basketball team. You know, I played college basketball. I was always on the bench near the end, leaning forward, looking towards the coach. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Well, guess what? They put me in, coach. So tonight, you're not getting the first string. You're probably getting the third string. But God's on my side, and the Holy Spirit's speaking through me. And that's all I need. It's not anything of my talent or my gift of speaking. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to speak through me tonight. And I had a message planned, and I come in seeing this young lady up there singing. Grace and mercy are flown to this place. Through His grace and His mercy, we have her singing again the praises of God. Folks, what more of a miracle you want to see before you believe in Jesus Christ? He's alive and well, and He's coming again. We just need to start praying like we know He's coming. Another thing that sort of changed me, I was just walking over here, and when I had the chance to play college basketball, my dad told me if I got a full scholarship any place, he's going to buy me a brand new car. Guess what my prayer was? I get a full scholarship someplace. Don't care where. As long as it's full, I'm going. I'll never forget the morning I was going through the mail of these colleges from Michigan and all that. And I read this one at Cameron State Agriculture College. Where's that at? Lawton, Oklahoma? That's where Indians are still going through there. I'm like, what's going on? So I opened the letter up. And I was reading along, and it says, "Dear Mr. Rankins, congratulations, we have offered you a full scholarship, and here's the guidelines you have to comply with. If you comply with these guidelines, you have a guaranteed 4-year scholarship." I said, praise God. I took the letter, shoved it over to my dad. My dad read it and goes, "Oh, crap." Because I knew I had a new car coming. So I was praying for a new car. I wasn't praying for the basketball scholarship. I was praying for a new car. I don't know about you guys, but I was a motorhead when I was growing up. But then God's grace and mercy came into my life. It wasn't a new car I needed. It was a companion I needed. If I wouldn't have got that scholarship to Cameron College, I wouldn't be married to the lady. I think she's in the back row. 41 years going on, 42. Her mom. Going through some tough times, but she prayed for me to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And through her prayers, our marriage stayed together, and now I'm up here, third string and all, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something, guys. Standing up here is not easy. I can stand and talk to anybody. Give me a whistle and a hat and a basketball, and I can preach and talk to you about basketball all night long. It takes discipline to stand up here. And you've heard me say, discipline takes it's in everything we do. We need to start praying for the pastor when he comes up to preach. That he has a week of discipline. He has a time to meditate on the Lord. Speak to the Lord. And he's uninterrupted. Because this week was uniquely different for me. I didn't know I was going to have to volunteer to help my daughter to Ponderosa in the kitchen and cook. But here I was. But God's grace and mercy kept me focused as I'm turning hot dogs, the sausages over and biscuits and burritos and all that kind of stuff. And listening to Don, which was fun. I know what I'm going to buy him for Christmas is 2 oven mitts that go up this way. He's got me getting burritos out of the oven, and it was hot. These little I don't know what they call them, potholders. I said, "Don, I'm going to go in that oven and get those things out there." Yeah, you know how Don is. I'm like, I'm going to burn my arm off. So in the protection of my daughter, I'm going to buy some new oven mitts for the Ponderosa. Because it's hot and it was heavy. And I don't think my daughter's as strong as I am. But tonight, we're going to talk about worship. Brother Ron, I'm getting to know him fairly well. And he talked about mercy last week. Mercy and grace. Folks, what's on my heart is that we have forgotten who God is. If I step on your toes tonight, I'm sorry. We have lost respect who God is. You hear it all the time. And we say nothing. So we're going to talk about worship tonight. It's going to be three parts. But let me tell you about what worship really means. It's worth. Is Jesus Christ worth your praise and adoration? Is He worth just giving it all to Him and surrendering to Him? He's got worth that we can't even measure. I don't know if you understand. When He speaks, things come into His existence. He spoke and the heavens and the earth came into existence. Well, that's pretty powerful. That just gets my worship. But I can go on and on and on. But people just sort of like slough it off. He tells us what marriage should be, and we as brilliant Americans, and we redefine marriage, we redefine this, we redefine that, right against God's Word. We should be humbled thinking about that. I was able to go back and visit my family, which I hadn't seen for a while, in Michigan. And we got to see a lot of places that me and Terry sort of grew up together while she was attending the university. And there's a lot of things we've seen. We're going, wow, how has it changed? How small it is? And all that kind of stuff. I was able to go back and visit my house of worship I used to visit on Saturday mornings. And I realize what a fool I am. The house of worship I'm talking about is better known as the Big House, University of Michigan Football Stadium. I would go early just to watch a bunch of young men run around in tight pants catching footballs. I didn't want to miss a thing. I was there for sometimes 2 hours before the game came off. But that place holds, they say, 110,000 or 109,000. It's always amazing to me when they give the attendance at the time the game starts. I think it seats 109,000. It doesn't make a difference. And they'll say, paid attendance today is 112,000. You look at the sign, it says 109. Where's another 4,000 people or 3,000 people? They're sitting in the rows. They're sitting on top of people. And at game time, it's not just 10 people there. There's over 110,000 people there. They don't want to miss 1 second. Where am I going with this, Randy? God calls us to be here at 6 o'clock. Are you here? You made an appointment with a God, and you're not here. And I'm not saying anything bad about football. Thank God, I worked on my heart. You can have a football team. I have a few, and I still talk about them. But when your football team comes before more important than God, your priorities are all messed up. It's time we start treating God who God is, the Creator. I mean, the place goes nuts when some guy scores a touchdown. Do we go nuts when somebody's saved? Do we go nuts when we witnessed about Jesus Christ and they accept Christ there? Our priorities are all messed up tonight. We got to stop playing church and become a church. I told the story before the group came out about David Brainerd. I think it's worth telling again. You don't know who he is. He was a missionary to the American Indians, I believe. Terry, my wife, my back office is reading it to me. I've heard enough of it. When he died, they were preparing him for burial. And somebody said, look at his knees. They're deformed. No, they weren't deformed. In Christian ease, they're called camel knees. From being on your knees and praying to the Holy God. That's not just the start of it. They were walking by his bed, and one of the people said, look at his bed. And they're all, what? Beside his bed were two grooves in the wood where that man's been on his knees before God. I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but are you wearing grooves on your carpet or on your wood floor, on your knees before God? I haven't. And I ask to be forgiven for that. We're going to be reading Psalm 150 tonight. to carry on with what Ron started. So you can turn your Bibles to Psalm 150. But before we get there, I'm going to talk about a couple of other scriptures. Matthew 22:38-40. It says, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. The second greatest commandment is love your brother as yourself. What's that mean to you? Those are words. I hear them said all the time. But do you love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? And if you say, oh yeah, you're lying. We have forgotten the grace of God, the mercy of God, and we walk through the blood of Christ. Enough is enough. We got to stop doing that. I don't know if you read the newspapers, but there's a few things going on in the world. And I don't know if Christ is coming tomorrow, the next day, or 100 years from now. Not my call. He's either going to wake me up or take me up. But that's not the point, folks. Are you ready for Him to come? He's coming like a thief in the night. So are you ready? Are you ready? John 14:3 says, if you love me, you will do what? Follow my commandments. There's a Bible in front of the podium right here. I'm going to talk a little bit about that before we get into Psalm 150. How are you going to do His commandments if you don't read His Bible? I'll give you a statistic. I like statistics. I was in business and statistics are my thing. 11% of the people surveyed said they read their Bible once a day. You say, well, Randy, look at this audience. There's more than 2-3 people in here read their Bible once a day. Well, give you some hope. That was on the whole world. People who are not Christians, it's just people. They surveyed. Then they surveyed Christians. So the percentage went up, jumped greatly. 7%. 2 out of 10 Christians who say they love Jesus Christ read this book once a day. That means 8 out of you people, I don't know how many are in here, not putting anybody on the spot. I know 2 people in this room that read the Bible once a day. Me and my wife. I'm not saying anything about you guys. I'm just telling you. Those are not numbers I like to see. Most of the time, the Bible sets on, we all have this book, and it sits on our coffee table, the back of our car, on the kitchen table, on our workplace where people can see we're Christians while we're working. Folks, if you don't open it, it doesn't do you any good. If you don't read His Word, it doesn't do you any good. So, I'm always a picture person. I started with a sword one time, a clarinet next time, the cross the next time. Guess what next? This is what we need to be reading. If you're not reading this on a daily basis, and I'm not talking 5 minutes. I'm talking if you're not reading this, studying this Word, I don't know how you get along. This week has been a tough week for me in my family, period. Like I told you, my mother-in-law, who knows? She could be in glory by the time I get done talking. And she'd be happy. I'll be happy because that's where she wants to be. So before we get into Psalm 150, I want to pray again. Can't hurt to pray more, I don't think. Is that right, Tony? Father, I come to You. And I ask You, as a body of Christ, You forgive us for not taking Your Word seriously. For not reading Your Word. For not studying Your Word. Lord, there's so much going on in this world. We need Your wisdom. We need Your guidance. And we don't get that from any other book but Your Word. Thank You, Jesus, for allowing me to be up in front of this congregation. Because I don't deserve to be here. I'm a sinner and I'm saved by grace. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're going to do something a little bit differently. So the people I've talked to, get ready, because it's going to happen. I thought the most important thing to do is read the Word of God. Well, you know, I can't read anymore. I can listen to it. but I can't read it anymore. So tonight, you're going to get pleasure tonight because you're going to have six different people read the Word of God to you. So, Roger, where are you at? Is Roger here?
No, he had to take my mom to the hospital.
Oh. Okay, Tony, would you read Psalm 150, verse 1, and stand up when you read it, please, and read it like you mean it.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse.
Verse 2.
Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Verse 3.
Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp.
Verse 4, Lisa.
Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipes.
Verse 5.
Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals.
Not but at least, verse 6.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Were you guys counting? How many times were the word praise used in those six verses?
A lot.
A lot. I'm not a smart man, but there's a lot in there. There's 13. Guys, I don't know if you realize that when we get to heaven, we're going to do a lot of praising, a lot of singing. If you pour into you now, you're going to have a rough time in heaven. Because all we're going to do for the rest of our lives, eternity, is praise the Holy God. For eternity. So let's start doing it now. Let's practice praising God. I don't know how else to say it, guys. But we're in trouble. Not us, but the church, America, whatever. When I talk to people who say they're Christians, and they tell me things, I'm going, what? I was talking to my aunt, bless her old heart, 85 years old. And she was talking about how she watches TV because she can't get in to church anymore because she's harder to get around. That's understandable. I was talking to her, and she said, well, Randy, I'm so thrilled that so many in our family is preaching the gospel, and we went on there, I'm not going to talk about that. And she asked me, what do you think about so-and-so? I looked at the face and I looked at Terry and she's going, be careful. Now this name's been mentioned before in this church. Not in a good way. But she said, well, he does such good things for the old people. He smiles. He's always, I'm going to give the clues away here. He smiles all the time. He's always uplifting you all the time. And there's more than one way to Jesus. There's only one Jesus, but there's more than one way to get to Christ. Unquote. Joel Osteen. So she looked right dead in my eye and said, Aunt Donna Mae, I love you, but you don't want me to give that answer. She said, yeah, I do. I said, well, and I gave her the answer in the church. What? I said, but the end of this conversation is, who's Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to him? How many times do you read a Bible a week? Because those are the most important things, Donna Mae. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Not what he says, but what you say from his word. So my challenge to you guys, who is Jesus Christ? I'm not going to tell you. I'm asking you to self-examine yourself tonight. And ask that question of yourself. Who is Jesus? If you don't have start reading. Start reading from the front to the back until you find Jesus. This is the only book in the world I know. If you're looking for Jesus, you'll find Him in here. Pray. God, I want to find You. I want to hear from You. I want to see You. He will reveal Himself to you. That's not a promise from me. That's a promise from Him, the Creator of the universe. Now we're going to talk a little bit about worship. I got you some sports stories and stuff. And Everybody knows I like those teams and stuff, but it's getting serious now. We have to look at worship. I have to look at it three different ways. There's an inward worship. You don't have to look for the scripture right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It talks about, and I'll summarize it. I won't try to stumble through it. He dwells in me. In the Old Testament, God had a temple to dwell in for His people. In the New Testament, He has His people to dwell in. We are the sanctuary of the Holy God. Have you ever thought of that? When you're walking around doing some stupid things, He's right here. Like, don't look now, Jesus. He's right here. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Folks, it's time we step on some toes here. Do you worship God from the inside? Do you take time and say, God, You dwell in me. You take time to be mindful of me, a sinner. Do you worship that way? Do you praise Him for saving your life? Grace and mercy flows to this building. It starts at that thing right behind us called the cross. And it's nothing but His blood that covers my sins. The world will tell you all different things. You want to believe me, go to a Christian bookstore. You'll find these books in the corner over there. And before you get there, you have every other self-help book in the world. And I'm not saying they're bad. There's people who take a lot of time writing those books. But we have stopped reading that book in the corner called the Bible to read all this other stuff. He dwells in your heart, guys. If you love Jesus Christ and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, He dwells in you and me. You have the Creator God who's living inside you. When Jesus says it's better for me to leave than to stay, and I'll send my Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's with us all the time. Can you grasp that? Jesus is with you all the time. He dwells in your heart. We are a living sanctuary. Do you treat your body as a living sanctuary? I want to answer that question. You don't have to answer that question. But do you? Not out loud. Tonight, go home. You need to fall. We all need to fall on our knees. Say, oh, we're sorry, God. Forgive us. We have treated you like dirt. We don't do anything. We come and go. We praise God. We walk out. Live like the devil the next 6 days. Come in, praise God. Go out there. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm not saying that to anybody. But I've seen it happen, not in this church, but other churches. They say, oh, I do all this for the love of Jesus. They have all the church turns down. Oh, that message last night just changed my heart. And I look at them the next 6 days and they haven't changed anything but a tire. If it changes your heart, and I use this as an example, if I walked outside on the highway I-25 and got hit by a truck, guess what, guys? I'd be changed. Not for the good, but I'd be changed. That's what the Word of God will do to you. It should be noticeable that people will notice you've changed. Inward. Worship first. Next one is upward. Upward worship. Genesis 1:1. We all know that verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. Folks, the world is telling us that we came from goo or a zoo or whatever they want to say. Folks, by the breath of His mouth, the Lord God created all of us. He went to the cross for all of us. He's died for us so we can get back in relationship to God. Because without His blood, we ain't getting there. I don't care what Joel Osteen says. My best life now. If it's my best life now, Joel, I must be going to hell. Because I hear heaven's a lot better than right here. And that will be my best life now. Do you live that way, guys? Do you inwardly worship and praise God because He dwells inside you? Do you worship God who is above all? I love scientists, and I have some good friends who are scientists, and they'll talk to you for hours how they have figured out there's 10 dimensions and da 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 da. And I just blow their mind. I say, well, if you say there's 10, there's got to be 100. What do you mean? Well, His ways are above our ways. If you figured out 10, there must be 99 more. But we don't live that way, guys. Our worship's not inward. Our worship's not upward towards the Creator. Because we think now we are become smart enough, we can change what He said was good. I mean, He didn't say this because He wanted to keep us away from that because He didn't want to have any fun. He knew what was best for us. Everything He says is for our betters. It's for us. So in Genesis 1:1, He created the heavens and the earth. I don't know if you can grasp that, folks. When I speak, nothing really happens. But when He speaks, it came into existence. Everybody in this room, He knew before you're in your mother's womb. Regardless of what man says when life begins, I know when God says life begins. We need to start living that way, folks. Every time I turn around, people are saying, oh, you right-winger, you Jesus freak, you've lost it this time, Randy. I'm saying, show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. I don't defend it. I'll let God take care of Himself. And I love when people say, well, in God's Word, they said, and they use, like, there's all kinds of examples. I don't know that. But they'll say this. I said, let's open the Word of God, because I missed that last time I read it. And then they'll say, well, I really don't know where it's at. But I know it's here. It's probably in the Old Testament someplace. I'm looking at them saying, don't come to me and tell me you know the Word of God, but you don't even know where the Word of God starts. The last one I want to talk about is outward worship. Romans 12:2. We are a new creation. We are changed. Do you live your life as a changed person? Our job is to proclaim the good news. A good life is good, but we also need to proclaim. But our lives should be so that people, when they see you, they say, you're different. How can you react to that? How, that don't make sense. You just lost your job and you're praising God. You just lost a loved one in your family and you're praising. That don't make sense. Guess what? The world's going to more and more not make sense. So tonight, hopefully, you're picking up about inward worship, upward worship. And I heard a pastor a couple weeks ago. I was in another church. It was on a Sunday, though. That's I'm forgiven. And it was Dr. Hollingsworth, and he said something that really stuck right between the eyes. He said, our worship is a spiritual act of service to God. I started thinking about that. Our worship is a spiritual act of service to God. I've been thinking about it for like 3 or 4 weeks now. Is my spiritual worship in service to God? One thing about me, folks, I don't speak a long time. Because my attention span is not long either. Most universities, they go 45 minutes and they call coffee break. When I was in business, they told me don't go any farther than 35 minutes in your presentation because people are going to fall asleep in the dark room in the back now. I can go on and on. But what I want to do tonight is pray for all of you guys. We need to pray for each other tonight. If you don't believe me, Satan's at work seeking and to destroy the families of America. You're under a rock someplace. That's all he wants to do is seek and destroy, seek and destroy, seek and destroy. Well, as Joshua said, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. He was being challenged. And I'm going to say it a little bit layman's term. When I was playing basketball, when somebody came in for a layup, I blocked a shot because it's not in my house. And I said that several times. Not in my house. Not in my house. This is His house. The line is here. No more. No more. We're going to let families be destroyed and our families here. We're going to make a stand against Satan. Not in our house. We're going to start praying on our knees and asking God for protection. We're going to get on our knees and ask God to forgive us our sins. We're going to get on our knees and ask God to use us any way He wants to use us. Tonight, guys, not in His house. Are we going to not leave here worshiping God, praising God, singing His praises? No more. No more. If you're not reading your Bible, read it. If you're not praying, start praying. I'm not going to say, well, you know, last week I did a good job. I don't care about last week. I'm talking about now. You go home tonight. I have the shortest distance in the commute. When I go home, I will be on my knees asking God, forgive me for my sins. Asking Him, forgive me for not being diligent in His Word. Oh, I can't see. Wrong answer again, Randy. I give you audio tapes. You've got all the advantages of the written word, not reading word. There's no more excuses, folks. No more dance around the issue. The scriptures I gave you tonight to read, Psalm 150. Read it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise His majesty. Praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him for everybody in this room. Saving us. Janine, it's a blessing to have you here. And my wife had to go pick up my daughter because she's working at the Ponderosa. I praise my God for my wife. If it wasn't for her, guys, I didn't want to guess where I'd be. And I want to close with one thing. I drove through Detroit, Michigan, where I used to live and run around as a young man. And I seen a city that has turned its back on God, what it looks like without God in the picture. Just imagine, if you could, to drive into Monument, Colorado, which is not a big town, so I'm pretty realistic on this. Now imagine every one of those houses are burnt out, boarded up, and overgrown. That's what I saw when I left in Detroit, in Hamtramck, Michigan, right by Detroit. A great, proud Polish community is gone. God is gone. I felt a darkness I never felt before when I was driving through there. It even felt dark. It wasn't dark. It just felt dark. I was afraid of my life. Because there's no police. There's no streetlights. It's vacant. That's what the world's going to be when God leaves here. And it could come tomorrow. And I'd be praise God. But are you ready? Are you ready tonight to meet your Maker? It could happen to anyone in this room. If you think it wouldn't happen, it can happen to you. We don't know how many days, how many hours, how many minutes we have on this earth. But as Terry told me, she said, I'd rather be doing that, serving at the camp, volunteering, than sitting around watching TV. Well, if He comes when I'm doing that, praise God. So tonight, I'm going to pray for y'all, and then we'll be dismissed. But as I'm praying, I want you to start thinking, do you love your God with all your soul, with all your might, all your mind? It's total surrender, folks. And when you surrender to Jesus, that's the great thing. He takes care of you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. That's a promise you can take to heaven. He says, I'm never going to leave you. They're never going to pluck you out of my hand, what the Father's given me. I can give you scripture upon scripture about the promises that God's never going to leave you. And He says it in His greatest commandment. Those two I just read. And He gives us one other thing to do called the Great Commission. Go make. Are you making disciples for Jesus Christ? You're not? Shame on you. That's all He's asked us to do. Praise Him, make disciples, and be obedient to Him. And I said, well, you say, well, Randy, I'm not like you. I can't go to Serrano's every day, and I can't do this. Shame on you. I did work for a living one time, a long time ago. I worked for a banking industry for 30 years. I had great opportunities to share Jesus before I left. I had great opportunities when I was a coach in Oklahoma to share with young people about Jesus. Now, those young people didn't like me because I had my first words out of my mouth when I did something wrong was drop them and give me 20. Because I had that much power. If they wanted to play for me, they're going to drop and give me 20. Some of those people really hated my guts, but I tried to give them lessons on life and what I'd give them with Jesus Christ. They couldn't understand it as young people. I gave them Jesus Christ. I gave them the principles, commandments of Jesus Christ. And I love it every time Richard comes upstairs. Randy, or Dad, he says, Dad, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, Rachel, I coached him. You won't believe what he said on Facebook. I said, oh, what did he say? He wants to thank you for giving him Jesus Christ. That makes a difference, folks, in my life. I know that some of the things I said, I can see some fruit. I just can't. Oh, I'll go on. I'm sorry. Folks, it's on my heart. I didn't know how I was going to say this tonight without stepping on people's toes. But the time is short. The time is to start right now. Not yesterday, but right now. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of You. We are just Your creation. You are the Creator God. And through Your grace and Your mercy, we live forever with You. But we have to accept it. So tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray that if anybody's here who don't know who You are, that You reveal Yourself to them. When they come to You and say, Jesus, I want to see You. I want to feel You. I want to hear from You. I know You will come to them and mend a hurting heart. And there's a lot of hurt in this place right now, Jesus. We need a lot of mending from You. So God, thank You for saving us. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us, to restore our relationship with the Father. I want to thank You, Jesus, for giving me this opportunity to use a dull tool like me to stand in front of these people and reclaim Your love. Thank You, Jesus. Watch over these people tonight. When they go home tonight, challenge their hearts, Jesus. Have Your words speak to them. Amen.
Don't you know that grace comes?